Join the conversation.
You're with Kate Talk.
Now, last week when we were talking about an employer's duty of care towards their staff, Labour lawyer Mike Bagrum reminded us that domestic workers are now also covered by the COIDA Act, that is the Compensation for Occupational Injury and Disease. And he mentioned how winning that coverage was such a big step forward in protecting one of the most vulnerable categories of worker in this country. But what does it actually mean in practice, and what good is the promise of coverage if actually getting one's domestic worker registered is almost impossible? It has been in my experience. It's 2 years and counting. I've lost count of the number of emails sent trying to do the right thing, trying to say to the department, I'd like to register my domestic worker. I want to start paying you the money to know that she is covered, and yet I'm not getting anywhere. And after yesterday's, last week's show, I had similar feedback from many of you. So we thought we would touch base with a guest who is integrally involved in the effort to support domestic workers and to make sure that teeth are given, if I can put it that way, to the legislation which has now been enacted. Chrissy Blaas is an attorney with the Women's Legal Centre. And Chrissy, it's great to have you joining us on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Just a bit of context first. Can you explain for our listeners why it is so significant to have finally won this coverage by COIDA for domestic workers? I mean, what was their position beforehand?
So just to clarify once again, the purpose of our COIDA legislation is to provide compensation to workers who sustain injuries or disablement, diseases or death during the scope and nature of the course of their work and in and arising out of the course of their employment. And so while this compensation was generally available to employees, domestic workers who work within private homes was a specific group that was excluded from this protection. And the importance of that exclusion and the context behind that is that, and this is part of why we are doing this work around this campaign to create awareness, is because we understand that domestic workers are particularly vulnerable because of the conditions in which they work, being in someone's private home. Domestic work can be described as the backbone of our society and economy, yet it is a type of employment that's deeply rooted within an apartheid and patriarchal context. And this is most evident in the fact that it's been excluded from crucial laws such as COIDA. And this is a reflection in not only the stigma that society places on the work, but also the state and the way in which it views the work. And so the importance of this is that this is a group of work now, but more specifically for us and in terms of our campaign, is putting a face to this work. Because you cannot just say that it's now domestic workers who work in private homes. There's a context behind that. Domestic work is completely gendered in its nature, and in a South African context, majority of people who conduct domestic work in private homes are women, and it is women of color. And so that is the most important context of this inclusion now. It is that poor women of color who conduct domestic work are now protected in terms of COIDA.
You know, Chrissy, you think about the way somebody in that kind of job works and you understand why they're so vulnerable. They are on their own for large parts of the day. They are in somebody else's home that is not within their control to make a safe workplace. If something goes wrong, there is only one line of reporting, as it were, to one boss. And if that boss is ignoring the law or not playing ball in terms of the occupational safety, etc., there is nowhere to turn. It is such a vulnerable space to be in and so dependent on the goodwill of the employer, if I can put it that way. Is the law trying to change that position and say, you know what, help is here outside of the house as well?
So what you're raising now is a very important aspect, not only specific to domestic work, but specific to a numerous categories and sectors of work where it is predominantly women of color, where they work in vulnerable conditions. So another example of that can be farm workers.
Yeah.
Where people work on private land, in private homes, there is little oversight, there is little regulation. And when we work and encounter with these women, we are often informed that we are aware that there may be labor protections and labor rights. However, we can't practically enforce it. So, and this is a major part of the submissions that we make either before court or before parliament and portfolio committee to the Department of Labor, in which we say that what we need is substantive equality for women. So we can't just have laws in paper. The laws have to be cognizant of the lived reality of women, because then, as you say, we will understand that there might be a COIDA inclusion now. But unlike the rest of a more formal sector of work where there's processes, labor processes, and there's an HR person, and you can report it and you can lay your complaint. As a domestic worker in a private home, I'm not even able to, for example, lay a confidential complaint of sexual harassment if that occurs, because I'm the only employee. And so there's this gap in implementation and adequate protection, particularly for vulnerable groups of women in certain sectors of work.
Yeah. Now, Chrissy, the intention obviously is to make sure that employers share the responsibility of creating and providing a workplace that is safe, that is secure for the domestic worker. What does that mean in practice? Let's talk about some of the factors that employers need to ensure they comply with.
And so maybe just to start off with saying that while there is COIDA, and COIDA provides for compensation to workers who sustain injuries and diseases throughout the work, South Africa has a myriad of labor laws. There's the Labor Protection, Labor Relations Act. There's the Employment Equity Act. There's Occupational Health and Safety Act. You know, and then even more specifically for domestic workers, there's a Sectoral Determination Act, which specifically speaks to the labor regulations in relation to this sector of work being domestic workers. And so that must be the starting point, because employers need to understand that there is a myriad of labor protections and rights and obligations, right, that they need to adhere to. In this specific context now, it is also important for employees and for domestic workers to understand that in terms of the COIDA legislation, the responsibility and the obligation is on the employer. And that is a positive obligation where the legislation says that all employers must register their employees within the first 7 days of beginning the employment relationship, right? So that's an important obligation, because it means the obligation rests on the employer and not the employee.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's very important for employers to understand that when your employee is injured in the scope of their employment, the obligation is also on you to fill out the necessary forms to keep them safe and to make sure that they are on hand. So there's a first form, and then there's various in-between forms, and then there's a final report. All of these forms have specific names. So the first one, for example, would be just to categorize your employee, their personal details, what happened, how the accident arose, the injuries that were occurred. That first report is essential in laying this complaint, along with the doctors and the medical reports. And so that's also an obligation that sits with the employer, because as an employee, even if I want to go and claim compensation, if I don't have those necessary documents that are completed by my employer, I'm once again unable to access the protection. And that's what we see with various domestic workers who sustain injuries within the home and within the course of their work, and then do not have employers who have either registered them or who have completed the forms. Another important obligation to realize is that the compensation legislation also makes provision that employers still pay their employees, even if they are off work due to the accident that arose. And there are provisions within the legislation that make it clear that employers can claim this back at a later stage once the claim is finalized. But for example, in every aspect of a claim, no matter what sector it is in, we know that there's always a waiting period. And so to provide that immediate relief and financial assistance to employees, employers still have to make the payments in between for the salaries that they can always claim back at a later stage. And I mean, just lastly, maybe to end off in terms of employers' obligations, is to say that employers now, and especially employers now of domestic workers who work in private homes, need to understand that there is some sort of accountability measures in terms of the legislation for those employers who don't do this. So you do open yourself and you make yourself liable to, whether it's a fine in terms of the legislation or whatever kind of accountability measures the legislation will set out because of the kind of obligation you did not fulfill. There is scope for you to be held liable in terms of that.
Okay.
So those are some of the obligations to mention.
Thanks, Chrissy. Before we let you go, the one important thing I want to ask is, for somebody who's in my position, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm aware of the potential liability if I don't, and I'm trying to do what I believe I should be doing, but the department itself is simply not processing the application. Is that a common experience? And if it is, what should we do about it?
So I In our experience, we have come across, even with this inclusion of domestic workers, and when we've looked at, for example, the stats, and there are organizations who we are working closely with, such as the Socioeconomic Rights Institution based in Gauteng, such as the Domestic Workers Union of South Africa, who work closely with domestic workers within communities to provide them that solidarity. Because the reality is just still that even though there are all of these great laws in place, there's still a major gap in implementation and a major gap in actual substantive protection and change live realities for domestic workers who work in private homes. This could go either way, because a domestic worker is actually not aware of the new inclusions and that they are able to enforce this, or they are aware and they are still unable to enforce this because of the risk they run of them being dismissed or not having employment if they should go and report the employer or lay that complaint. But also predominantly because employers who either may not be aware of this now, or who, as you have pointed out, are trying to do so, but there's a complete lag. I mean, we know we come out of a state of COVID, which has created a big backlog in implementation and registration and payments. But also that is not justifiable. And these are some of the submissions that we've made to the department as well, in saying that a plan needs to be made to give effective protection for domestic workers who work in private homes, because that is missing at the moment.
Chrissy Blaas, thank you so much for that information. Speaking there as an attorney with the Women's Legal Centre.